Blog Talk Radio.
The hits just keep on coming.
Let's start the show. You know what time it is.
What up? It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad of radio.
The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. With Tone Robbins.
Live and direct.
Sophia Alexandria.
I am in the house. What's going on?
And Brother Al.
Hey, what's up?
You know, it's not just the wisdom, it's the basis of understanding of the subject.
Yeah. What time is it? You know, it's the Powerhouse Squad time for the show. So everybody get ready to get excited, get with it, get down to the information. We got a hot one for you. If you don't know, now you know. You know, my brothers and my sisters. What's going on? What's up? This is your one of your hosts right here, a piece of the Powerhouse Squad. Your host, Brother Alfred, around with our whole crew is in the house. All right? We're just waiting for everybody to roll in, because you know it is. It's that midday between I just had a big old lunch to I got to get back to work. Okay. So the midday, you know it's that midday time, so get into it. We just want to start off by getting into a little bit of the news, but we're going to, before we get to that point, Powerhouse Squad, shut up. Brother Tone, are you in the house?
In the building. What's up, y'all? How y'all doing today?
Yeah. You know, Brother Tone, the man, the wandering traveler. All right. Sister Sophia, are you in the house?
Hey, everybody, I'm in the house. What's going on?
All right. We got a good show for you, but you know what we do first. We're going to dig into the news. Let's get it on.
Live on NFL Radio Studios in Sanford, Maine, local and national and international news, keeping you updated to the current events, it's NFL Radio News. Your host, Brother Alfred, of the Powerhouse Squad. So, let's get into it, and let's get ready to stay informed.
All right. Listen, going on, there's a Miss Meghan Markle, Prince Harry. They, as you may or may not know, they are in the talks of doing a live movie about Miss Meghan. So guess who they're talking about playing her? No other than Kim Kardashian. Kardashian. Forgive me, I forgot to put my dentures in. But we're kicking in right now for you to let you know, it's a big topic everybody's talking about. Check it out on value.com, ventures.com, as well as news.com. You'll be able to see a little bit of more information about it. But, I think it'd be something interesting because the Kardashians are also considered royalty in their own right. Trash. Oh, all right. Explain. Elaborate.
Culture appropriation, man. Already, here we go. Controversy. First of all, do you not feel worthy, to identify with yourself, to actually have let's be blunt, a black person portray you? So you're going to go and get a person who is of, caucus descent, to portray you, who has no acting skills, has been in nothing award-winning, and if you're representing a certain status that created so much controversy as a whole, why would you pick a person who has had her life picked apart because of her questionable decisions to leak a sex tape, to show herself, practically naked in a photo shoot? Is that really the imagery that you want in representation of your identity when you're still alive and you're not even old. You know what I mean? If it was, it's one thing if she was, you know, aging. But, I mean, you're an actress yourself. So if you want it that bad, why don't you just step up and just be you and play you? How about that?
Wow.
Nobody can do it better than the originator. Just my opinion.
Let's put it like this. Okay, all right. They probably picked her up because of that, but the, you know what? There's also, remember I always say, there's always a hidden agenda. You hit on some of the points that right there that everybody knows about, okay? Everybody knows about the sex tape. Everybody knows, you know, her and her relationship with Ray J went a little bit cuckoo. And those who don't know who Ray J is, it's Brandy, the singer's former Queen Pop top singer brother. And he had some hits himself. But they converted and started making these tapes and stuff like that. But anyways, she came into fame because her father was on the OJ, was a lawyer on the defense team with the OJ trial. Okay. Her family has been known for doing clothing, designing, and she's also was married and had children by Mr. Hip-Hop himself, Kanye West. Okay, we know all that. If you do not know, now you know. But my thing is that I think the hidden agenda is they're trying to discredit Megan by having someone play her with a trashy background. Has anybody thought about
that?
Yeah,
but I hear that, but if she has creative control, and let's just say she has the creative control and she selects the actual casting, then, again, it's back to culture appropriation. I mean, do you think less of yourself feeling that you have to get someone that is fairer than you, has more distinctive features than you possess? Because, I mean, their body type, definitely. Not the same. You
right.
know what I mean? Kim is actually old. I think Kim is older than her slightly. So why would you select the person that's older than you as opposed to a younger, up-and-coming actress who may be theatrically trained in the arts that could actually give a great performance? You know, That's my thing, but culture appropriation has been coming up a lot this week, and when we get to it, you know, I'll roll out what I got for you.
We know you do, my brother. We know we do. Okay, all right. Any rebuttals? But I want to get into another one. This is another great story, straight from the community right here. A black woman creates app to make mental health care affordable and stigma-free for communities of color. Okay, let's get into that. I don't know if you heard about this. Up in San Francisco, California, Tamara Blue, founder and CEO of Mental Happy Inc. You can look her up on Google. A safe, affordable online community that provides positive peer support groups led by mental and wellness professionals, along with science-backed toolkits and other premium features. Her company is inviting 1,000 health and wellness professionals nationwide to join the Mental Happy Movement, experienced leaders and coaches can host their groups on secure wellness-focused platform where they are connected directly with their members on their data. So that means they get to own the data, they get to own the products. So you're in control. It's like a social media almost, but you are your health and wellness. So if you're dealing with love, if you're dealing with any issues, mental illness issues or anything like that, you can have a virtual conversation. It goes also and says here that we know 100% of the experiences during COVID-19 pandemic has hit us, generations as well as our demographics in the Black community is higher than most communities, as well as knowing that expenses for mental health is hard to obtain. With this wellness and issues has occurred on a constant basis that we are trying to be able to maintain our normalcy within this pandemic times. Communities have been harsh on us in our community, and I see that there should be a space for us so that we can afford the help that we need so we can be more effective in our lives and communities. End quote.
Hey, what's the site again? What's their web call? Website?
It's Mental Happy Inc. That's, you just Google that, and if you have a platform, you're trying to help people with mental health situation. They've also, according to Mental Health America, they have quotations, have linked up with them as well. This young sister, she's only in her early 20s. A young sister, she's pretty she's in her 20s. And this says, okay, there's a website. For more information, please go to mentalhappy.com /leader for more information. Or just go to mentalhappy.com. So, all right, so what do you all think about this? This is a platform, do you think is well overdue or should have needed, or is it ahead of its time?
The Mental Happy, I think that's actually really good because we need it, especially in this day and time that we're going through with so much going on and so many people that are not happy, they're struggling with depression. So I think this is really good.
Okay. All right. Brother Tone, what you think?
Are you crazy?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That depends on who you ask.
you remember, I think a few conversations ago, you know, that you and I were having offline, I say, man, how's your mental health? I mean, I ask that question from time to time because we are humans. It's been so much of a spotlight placed on mental health. And, you know, the site, if it's something easy to use, I think it's going to be phenomenal for people. But the question that arose while I was listening to a podcast, and guy said, do you feel as though they're selling mental health as a brand? So it's just one of those things that resonate to pops up for me. Like in the closing of my podcast that I did like 5 a.m. this morning, just off the whim, that's how I closed talking about programming. So the question is, are we hearing a term so much now that people are just buying into this and they're being programmed think that their condition is far worse than what it is? That's my only
Okay. Well, that's definitely something that it can be looked at because, you know, I mean, mental health being sold as a brand. Now, you know what? Everything has a branding. A logo is a brand. A subject is a brand within itself. I mean, seriously, you think it's a term, but it's also a way of thinking that, believe it or not, that, you know, that's saying that we are part of one category and one category only. You know, we are just for greed. I wouldn't say that we are part of that category of greed for some of us. Some are using it as just for greed. Because, you know, first thing people might ask you, why did you want to become a therapist? You know, and always the number one question comes up with that is, are you doing it for the financial stability of it because it's big money, or are you doing it to help people that are in need? Well, the sellable term, you would say, of course, as always, has been because I want to help people. But are you sincere and really want to help people with their mental state? Or are you just doing it for a peer check? That's the question you have to ask yourself when you deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, I won't challenge the clinical, but keep this in mind. A book that I read a short while ago that said, hey, when they wanted to sell bacon, the government went to the doctors and said, hey, you know, put it on the plate. Say that, you know, it's good for you and the nutritional thing. When they wanted to sell milk and they created the pyramid, you know what I mean? And milk is horrible for you, quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know. So now this is the thing with mental health for me. Celebrity. Her name is SZA, S-Z, like zebra, A, SZA. I follow her. I like her movement. I like some of her sound on her records that she put out. But she did a photo shoot with her mother. And in the description of the post, it was like, I have so much anxiety, I don't like to be outside. And I'm like, whoa, time out. So you want to sing songs and get paid, understanding the art form, the art of expression of being an entertainer, a singer, and you don't think that you're going to be in the public eye. So now this falls under mental health with the anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if she's a millennial or if she's the next generation now under the millennials, but that next generation under the millennials are the social needs that they require. And this is just my personal opinion. Guys, don't smite me for it, but it's my personal opinion. I just personally feel that life has been given to that next generation on a platter, even in the worst situations, financially. A lot of things have been given to them on a platter that when they're challenged to do normal things, they create conditions that now fall under mental health or behavioral issues. And that's their outcry now. You know, I have anxiety. I have depression. I everything is a situation, a category that falls under mental health for, I think it's Gen Y. I don't want to get it incorrect, but anyone after the millennials, that's what I'm referring to right now. And I'm saying that because
Z.
I got two.
Yeah.
Okay. Is Gen Z? Okay. I got two 20-year-old sons. You know, one is he's an anxiety person. He goes through depression. And kid's never been in a fight, had a scratch on him or anything like that in his life. And I'm just like, you know, part of my friends like, what the hell is wrong with you, kid? You know? And that's just my viewpoint of it because we were raised in a time where you were going to have adversity. You're going to have challenges. And we use our process of thinking to get through things that people now want to revert to a pill or some liquid form of medication to, you know, numb them to move through that transitional period in their life. And I'm like, I don't know. They could be selling the programming of mental health so much that people are buying into this, and it's going to be the new wave. Like for people that are in their 40s, somewhat 50s right now. I mean, a lot of people put their kids on Ritalin back in the days to ADHD, and ADHD is such a controversial. A conversation for some people say, yeah, it doesn't exist. That's not a thing. Some people will say, yeah, it's a condition. But needless to say, Ritalin in itself, you know, it's you know, as they speak on it, Ritalin, Adderall uh-huh. is just it's just professional concentrated crack.
Ooh, I was thinking it, but you said it. I didn't hear you go.
And it leaves one in a debilitated state, you know, and it lessens their response time, et cetera. But I ain't finna get clinical on y'all, man. I'm sorry. Let me get out my soapbox. Let me back up in the corner. Hey, Sister Sophia, how you doing today? I'm passing the torch to you.
I'm doing good. It's kind of interesting that you pointed out how you said, are they selling the mental thing as a program or something? And it's kind of interesting the fact that you talk about the younger generation now. They're going through a lot and they don't know how to deal with it, so it's becoming a thing. And actually, when you said that, I actually thought of a lot of people that I know that are actually going through a lot of things in that age. And, you know, so I'm wondering, like, what are, you know, is it something that we need to question the parents about? You know, do we, something we're not doing, something we're not teaching our kids? You know, is it what they're seeing around their peers? You know, what is it? So it kind of makes me question, because now that you mentioned that, yes, a lot of people in their 20s, even teenagers, a lot of them that I know of that are going through depression, anxiety, they can't do this. Everything is a lot for them. You know, even the stuff that we went through normally, or maybe that I've gone through normally, people are not dealing with them in the same way. So it's kind of interesting.
Right,
I'm just,
right.
I want to know what Brother Alpha right. got to say.
Yeah,
oh,
hey, hold
well.
On before you go to Brother Alpha. Hey, before you do your commentary, I'm saying this, and, you know, for the listeners, people that will listen on the back end or that are listening live, I'm not being insensitive when I'm saying this. You know, like to your comment that you just made, Sister Sophia, back in the days, and I'm not talking about way, way back, but we're talking about 80s and 90s. You know, some of these things that people deem as challenges, you know, for lack of better words, we're like, you soft, man. You know what I'm saying? What's wrong with you? You know, back in the
mm-hmm.
days, mm-hmm. we would bear down on them, and our retort would be something to that effect, to saying, man, what's wrong with you, man? You soft, man. Are you letting that get under your skin? And I'm going to say the programming through film and music definitely has had a weighing impact on children, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, like to the point that I said, they've been given life on a silver platter, because most parents will say, and in their defense, I tried to give him everything he wanted. I tried to give her everything she wanted. Right. You did. You tried to give them everything they wanted. And that's the reason that so many kids today have a problem of problem solving. That's the best word for it. They cannot effectively map out things by problem solving. And then they immediately turn it into a category of depression, anxiety, and so on
mm-hmm.
and so on and so on. And then the government hasn't made it any better, because we can't discipline the kids. If you discipline them, mm-hmm. then it comes back to you and say, hey, you're a child abuser.
So I guess when you're talking about disciplining, you're talking about paddling, whipping, and all of that, right?
I mean,
because
there's
other ways to discipline
other
people.
Or it could just be even verbal. Even verbal chastising is considered a form of harassment. Or
mm-hmm.
don't forget the look.
Mm-hmm.
The look. You gotta remember the look. The mama give you the look. The daddy give you that look. You say, okay, I'm gonna sit down now. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's. I mean, that works for us. But you know, for the kids these days, the kids these days, I mean, you look at them, and in all actuality of where you're trying to be a parent, nobody wants the parent to be the parent. They want the parent to be a friend of their child. And so that relationship now turns with the child, and the child is constantly acting out against the parent because the parent has no line of defense. Like, what can they really do to the kid that will not have them at the mercy of the law in the event that things escalate?
Wow. All right. Okay. Then, all right, let's take this. Let's take this a little bit. We're going, I think that was definitely something that we all, as they say, chew the fat on. So everybody, I want you to take your comments from this point on. Don't forget to hit the form. Go to the app. You know what to do. You know that NSF Radio app. Go in the form. Post your comments. What do you think about mental health? What is your opinion on next month? And if we get a lot, if anybody comes in here and makes a lot of comments, maybe we'll talk about it on next week's show, bringing that to the prime time shine. Well, let's get down to the last one a little bit. Guess who is now in the NFL? Y'all never guess this, but I know Tone like this one. Rapper Warren G's son, Odell Griffin, signed with the NFL's Buffalo Bills. National on the National Wide News on Warren G's celebrating his 22-year-old son, Odell Griffin, who recently signed with the Buffalo Bills after initially being an underdrafted in the NFL. So, comments. What do you all know about it?
Regulators.
I guess
that's all we can say. I mean, congratulations to them, man. I mean, you know, when you made $1 million at least. I don't know how much Warren G is worth, but I mean, the song was a very popular song back in the days. If you have the financial means, man, to put your family in a better situation, I don't see why they cannot achieve these particular things. But my only question is, do sports, as we've seen historically, back to the man yourself expression again. It's back to that expression again, because the kid doesn't have, in most instances, they don't really have nothing to play for. Unless it's a situation where they begrudge their parent for ridiculing them and their plight to try to find success in sports if they were following in their footsteps. But most of the kids, to be honest, man, I'm going to be harsh. I'm going to hit below the belt. They suck. You know what I mean? Michael Jordan kids were, you know, subpar, you know, after him.
Bob Marley's boys play.
He was fair. I mean, he was fair for a person that, you know, Jamaican kid doing something different as opposed to playing, you know, soccer or something to that effect. He was fair, but he was tremendously undersized, so he didn't have an opportunity to catch on in the major pro league. But like Walter Payton's song, classic example. You know, you look at Walter Payton, you look at his son, you think, oh, sweetness, greatness. Trash. You look at Jerry Rice's son. You know, you think, oh, his daddy, trash. So, Randy Moss's son, you know, barely can hang in there. And I'm not trying to belittle the children. I'm just saying, you know, it wasn't a situation like their parent. For their parent, for the most part, sometimes it was a dire situation. Like, this is our way out. You know, for those kids have been, albeit coached by their parents, had extra specialized training to make them a little more inferior to their peers and their age group. But then when they break out the box and they come into the arena with everyone else who doesn't have a rich parent, then, you know, it doesn't really fare well for them over time. I mean, even look at the destruction, the self-destruction of Kellen Winslow II. You know, his father won a Super Bowl. He won a national championship, then playing for the University of Miami, and now he is going to prison for 15 years for raping a homeless person. And you're like, what the hell happened? You know what I mean? Like,
Ooh, that's just crazy, bro. That's just crazy. You know what? Being yeah, I mean, best luck to you, man. I give it up to that, you know, because, you know, Warren G was a favorite of mine. But I think he's the influence of football mostly was because, you know, Snoop was heavy in football, man. I mean, he even got his own league, okay, a junior league and set up.
But look what happened to his son.
Yeah, and, you know, but his son's smart, man. These children are not like, they don't put themselves in that category. He, you know, he pulled them out, but he keeps them there. You know what I'm saying? He goes down to Compton on a constant basis. You know what I'm saying? It's not many other celebrities that to try to give their children a normal life, but they also try to make sure they understand where they came from. So it's a limited amount of it. Some people just throw away the past and just move forward, not remembering where they came from. So the children have no idea about the past. So these kind of things do occur. You know, on a constant
basis. I like the outreach. I like the outreach from Snoop, but I was just saying, you know, look what happened to his son. His son got put into the best of the best, Bishop Gorman, a nationally rated high school and sports. Randall Cunningham's two kids went there. And following Snoop's son graduation, they had who was on tap? Muhammad Ali's grandson was on tap maybe like a year or two behind him. But, again, like I said, the moral of the story, the kids aren't as hungry as the parents. And sometimes it wasn't even their ambition. They did it for as a means to have a connection to their parent. And, you know, Snoop's son got a chance to go to the UCLA. And he committed. He walked in, walked out of practice and said, hey, I ain't doing this crap. It's like I was only doing this because this is the reason, this was the only way for me to have some time with you was through sports. But he walked away from the game after, you know, a very, very, very short time at the university. And, I mean, he's fine. He has a modeling career that he's embarked upon, which is cool. But like I said, you know, the legacy of a child actually being successful, the next coming, you know, albeit your father or your mother had to be a notable person that was kind of like in the middle of the road but wasn't great, and then you're gonna go beyond them. Such as Steph Curry, classic example. His father was a role player in the league. And now he spent so much time around the league, he was able to go to the next level for the family. But the ones whose parents are so far gone, you know, like a Michael Jordan or Cheryl Swoops or something like that, their kids don't have that type of ambition. Because
you look at him. I mean, what's your name? Prince and Michael's children.
Yeah.
They don't have the same ambition that Michael had when he was trying to sing, and they don't even have ambition to sing. They just want to live that life that they're living, and that's about it. And they don't know anything outside of that life. So what I'm saying to people is that we need to understand, you know, yes, we understand it's not the sins of the father. Is the sins of the son in this case. You know what I'm saying? What it is that, you know, it is that the father did the sin, but the child's like, I ain't doing that. You know what I'm saying? But, I don't have the ambition to do it. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
My son begrudged the process, man. He was like, he hates the fact that everyone says, oh, that's your dad. Oh, you should be able to do this. Oh, you should be able to do that. When we had a one-on-one conversation, and even when he was in the junior ranks, and I was like, "Well, I'm gonna participate as a coach." He was like, "I will not play if you're my coach. I'm not playing." I was like, "Damn,
Right.
Damn.
Right.
It's like that, man. It's crazy.
Well, listen, all right, it's 1:35 on the East Coast time. We know what time it is. It's time to get that 2 and 2. Be back. Play a little tunes. And guess what? We'll be back. We're going to hit that main subject. Remember, feminism. Have we gone too far or has it not gone enough? We will be right back. Today we are talking about, we get into it, feminism. Mother's Day just passed by, you know what I'm saying? We just went through that, and at the same time, you know, for me personally, it's also my mother's birthday. She's passed away about 2016, and, you know, being raised by a man, being raised by a strong woman, and a group of strong women, I'm talking about my sisters as well, you know, and not really having a male role model to look upon, but until my older age. I the question has come up to me is, what is my opinion on feminism? What is the mentality of feminism? Is feminism gotten to the point where we're making men a second class citizen, or that men are no longer needed? They're only needed for one item, and they're not needed for anything else but that one item, or what is your opinion on these things? What we're going to do is, you know, we're going to get into this a little bit deeper by looking at the aspects of, we're going to look at the feminism movement from the 60s to the 70s to the 80s to the 90s to 2001. We need to look at this. You know, like, now I'm going to bring up some statistics that I've studied on this subject. 62% of men say that I've talked to about this, it said that feminism has gone too far. 31% said feminism has not gone far enough. Now, the reason I even bring this subject up at all is because we just did a story regarding Kevin Samuel and Omar Johnson. Omar makes a claim that, you know, he's disappointed in women. In our black women, saying that, you know, I thought we was doing this, I thought we was doing that, and of course everybody knows what Samuel's opinion or stance is on it. He feels that, you know, he wants to stand up for men that he feels are disproportionate and being mistreated and not being appreciated. So he's trying to break down the barriers to say that, you know, woman, you need to learn how to respect a man. You want a man, but you only want a man for one thing, or the other thing is wealth. You're not looking at the man. You're looking to the man, what he can give you, and you're not bringing nothing to the table. Okay. So those are the two perspectives we left off last week. Okay, but now let's get into the part where we talk about feminism. We need to focus on that issue of what it means to be a feminist, to be a feminine person, to mean to really push a movement in the right direction and ask ourselves a question at the same time, are we pushing ourselves or are we pushing this movement in the right direction? All right. Open for opinions.
So Sister Sophia? You say when you talk to 62% of the men you spoke with said it's gone too far. So I'm just curious to know what they're talking about, like what examples, why do they believe it's gone too far?
Okay. Well, okay. I'll give you one example. I spoke to a brother, I believe it was North Carolina. Or South Carolina, I think, and he made the statement that, you know, he notices that women are, the women he meets, the conversation always looks at his finance before he even gets approached. So if he walks into a store, he sees a beautiful sister, and he's not dressed up, he's dressed down because he might be doing some road work or something, whatever he done. And he'll go into the store and talk to her sister. This is how he's playing. And he say, hey, beautiful, how you doing? Do you think I can get your number? You know, he's cavalier with his talk, trying his best to, you know, to build something, to spark something up. She completely rejects him in 3 seconds. But that same woman sees him when he cops into his brand new Corvette, that he just bought, he had, he owns, it's all his, you know. Suddenly, she's interested again, you know. And this is the kind of mentality, and you know, that he keeps running into. Now, this is not a bummy guy. He owns a couple of businesses. He, you know, he same time he works a full time job. He has children from a previous marriage, but at the same time, he's not with her, but you know, he takes care of the children. He makes sure that they're taken care of. He wants somebody in his life that can complete him on his level, that can work equally together. But when he puts himself out there on a consistent basis, he always attracts something negative or somebody trying to pretend like they're interested, but in reality, they're not interested in the man. They're interested in the man's wealth.
Go ahead, sis.
So what do you think about that, Sister Sophia?
Sorry, I was talking, but I was on mute. So is that a question of feminism, though, or is it a question of that lady is judging a book by the cover? So basically she sees him in his down clothes. She's not interested. Like, what can you offer me? And me, personally, I don't see anything wrong with a woman wanting to know what a man can offer her. I think that's absolutely right, to see what can be both ways. It goes both ways. What can you offer me? What can I offer you? What additions can we bring to the table? But that doesn't mean that you should go into the relationship only seeking to receive and get. You need to already be grounded within yourself and, you know, whole and complete. Then whatever that person is bringing to the table is a bonus, addition, complimentary. So I think fighting for equality in women and men, there's nothing wrong with it. So I don't see that particular example as going too far with feminism. That's just basically somebody misjudging, not taking the opportunity to get to know somebody beyond, you know, what they are dressed in. I just don't see anything wrong with somebody wanting things or looking for something to get out of a relationship, because you get in relationships to get something out of it, whatever, if that's companionship. You're not wrong for that. If it's, you know, security, you're not wrong for that. But you just need to be 100 with yourself first. So I don't think that's a question of feminism, in my opinion.
Can I throw a flag? Let me throw a flag. I'm about to throw a flag.
Flag in the place.
They go to flag right here. We're gonna stick with feminism. Not gonna change it up. But here's one of the biggest, I want to say the biggest, because you only care if you care. But should the women and the WNBA be paid salaries comparable to the National Basketball Association, the men?
Yes.
That is. That's the feminine. That's the line of feminism and fighting for. They feel equal pay, equal rights based on being entertainers, doing something similar to what the males are doing. Even, you know, I guess we can go male versus female, Venus and Mars, as a whole, when you're looking at professional sports. The compensation level doesn't quite measure up from an entertainment value perspective of people wanting to see a male-dominated sport or team sport or individual sport versus, you know, a woman compete in a similar sport. So that's my flag. I'm a fallback. Deferring
right.
to the sister.
Well,
yeah, I mean, that's definitely feminism. I mean, like, yes, should we get paid? That happens just not in entertainment. That happens on jobs. I work jobs where you look at the man's salary is well over, way more than what I was getting paid. You know, so yes, I believe that if we're doing the same job, regardless if you got a penis and I got a vagina, I should get paid the same thing if I'm doing the same thing that you're doing. Period.
But you can't dunk. You can't dunk the basketball. You know.
Who says I can't?
I look at being practical about things. So I will say this. When we're talking large scale numbers, because when we're talking about feminism, equal pay, equal rights, something to that effect along the lines of feminism, and we're talking about entertainment, we have to look at market share. So, of course, the men's league has been established, I don't know, what, 50 years maybe at this point, maybe 100, maybe 50. I know the NFL is 100. I think the NBA is at least beyond 50, maybe 75 right now at this point. And the women's league, if we're lucky, maybe they're turning 20 or 25. So saying that to say, I can't see justifying paying the best shooter, and I'm going to dumb it down. I'm going to water it down. Water it down to, let's say, we're not going to look at LeBron James because that's a totally different situation. But if we're talking about the purest of the game of being able to dribble, being able to shoot the basketball, you know, point guard for point guard situation or shooting guard, someone that's comparable like Steph Curry. He's not playing above the rim a lot. He's shooting from afar. He's a dribbler. He's a passer. So I think Sue Bird is a formidable person that I can mention name-wise in the sport that does something similar to Steph Curry. If Steph Curry gets paid upward, I don't know, $20 million a season, I can't see justifying paying Sue Bird $20 million a season when the fan base is definitely not the same. The support as a whole is not the same. And I'm not saying that she can't do what he does. If mm-hmm. it was a situation where they were playing co-ed and she may score 20, he may score 20. I'm not saying mm-hmm. that she can't do that. I'm just saying market mm-hmm. share-wise would dictate
yeah.
my decision, the justification of pay, to where we may not be able to pay her $20 million for $20 million, but I think what they can do is say, hey, wherever the NBA person, similar skill set, similar position is being paid, for the women, respectively, we want to pay a reasonable percentage that's something close to, well, I won't say close because $2 million may be her threshold versus his $20 million. And people still will say, well, that's not even remotely close because that's a $18 million gap. But in the business model, let's say, okay, it's perfect. And I'm getting the math down. So her percentages needs to be par with what he's getting paid in the NBA for his team percentage-wise. So let's say if
right.
his salary is let's break it down as 11 men, 14 men on the team. If his salary and wages is 27% of the team, then she needs to get paid 27% of what that gross is brought in for that team. So that's a percentage that can be aligned, mm-hmm. but unfortunately it still won't bring the revenue or the income gap any closer.
Yeah,
because
what's going on is this. You know, the perfect example is we all might have seen clips of it. We might even watch the whole thing. Layla Ali, Muhammad Ali's daughter, fought, I believe, it wasn't George Foreman's daughter. I think it was George Foreman's daughter, and it was supposed to be a rematch, but, you know, the next generation. And that fight did not, it was not paid properly. It wasn't, it's the promotion behind it. They didn't promote it enough to bring enough revenue to cover what they really need to cover. And then on top of that, you know, they got less. The women fighters actually got less on the payout than the men would have got at the same with the same kind of fight. So you see these kind of things, and you just like, okay, all right, we want to talk about, you know, equal pay. Yes, that's a good thing. We should focus on as far as equal rights concerned when it comes to the women's movement. The most important thing is. It's the backlash training for generation to generation from all the way back when Susan B. Anthony was supposed to, quote unquote, start this movement. But what we need to look at is really just see this. Okay, we went from burning bras in the street to basically running million-dollar corporations and companies. And even before the feminism, women were making that move because we have our dear sister, you know, who was the first black female billionaire or millionaire. Okay? So, with that being said, feminism should not be saying, I don't need you. The message should be, okay, I don't need somebody that cannot add value to me, and I don't need to be with someone I can't add value to you. It has to be, as the Bible would say, or the scriptures might say, equally yoked. We've heard that thousands of times. See, the thing is, I'm seeing about this movement, it's got to the point where you ask a woman, and this is this question, this is what Steve Harvey, I'm going to take what from my brother Steve. Brother Steve once said, he said, if a woman is paying the bills, paying the mortgage, taking care of herself, she does everything she needs to do for everything in life, what's the job of the man then? Why does she need to bring a man into it? What, to have sex and to give her the baby and then maybe put child support on the father? Is that the key of the? Is that the whole purpose of it all? It shouldn't be. That shouldn't be the message that's being shoved down. Because a lot of the men I talk to, it's going through these situations. They feel like they're not valued in relationships, and they say they blame it on the feminist movement. Yes, a woman deserves equal pay.
I don't think that's the circumstances, but I'm a whole my retort, sister. I think you had something that you was about to chime in with.
Mm-hmm.
Since ladies first, it's ladies first.
Well, thank you. Well, it was just pretty much what you were saying when you were talking about basically you don't bring in the NBA doesn't bring. In the same or vice versa, the revenue, the same amount of revenue. And so, yes, those things have to be taken into account because just for an example, I worked in property management before I, you know, did my business. And if you wanted to work, get paid top dollar, you went to a certain company because you knew they paid higher salaries. But if you're in that same company, and you see a man doing the having the same title as you, you should be able to be paid the same amount if you're doing the same job. And also, if you are like you're talking about basketball, yes, a person within that team can get paid more if he's to do more. If you're expecting Steph Curry to do this, then yes, he should get paid more. You're not expecting another player to do that. You're expecting him to contribute, but not as much. So all of that is understandable. So that's all I wanted to say in that regard. You do take that into account, but I do agree with kind of what you said, Alfred, in regards to you said, what did you say about meeting? What is the, it shouldn't be like, I don't need you for anything, you know, or whatever. I don't necessarily agree with that mindset, but I'm going to go ahead and let Tone say what he want to say, because you said you don't agree with what Alfred said, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think feminism is causing the devalue of a man. I think programming is causing the devalue of a man. And even as we are live now, so I'm looking at a feed by an individual that posted something, which it was a joke. But here's the joke. The joke of it is, hey, you ready for this?
Yeah.
My guy, he's gonna flip his wig over there. He says, here's the joke. Women think you want their man. Girl, you pay all the bills, I want you. Programming. See, yeah. And this is the thing. And this is the thing, right? So we've made things so accepting and culturally
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even a directive anymore. Well, it's not even a situation anymore in regards to traditional settings anymore. I've seen women in a most hurtful way, I'm going to say, and they're in between downtime, between relationships, between men. We go and date a woman who had money so that woman can take care of them and stay up in the process until she found a formidable man or that next victim, Dracula. You know what I'm saying? It's a dog eat dog world now in the United States of America. I won't say this is the norm. Of course, you know, there is harsher viewpoints and sometimes consequences in other nations that forbid any alternative relationship publicly. And so that mm-hmm. you won't see it as, it won't be as prevalent as it is here, but the programming has made things that if you go back to the 50s, and we know homosexuality has always existed. And I'm not trying to go down the rabbit hole, but I'm just utilizing this as an example, since this was tossed out as a joke as we talk about feminism and equal rights. And then there was another satire yesterday that said, from a same-sex woman couple, that said, we need to get rid of Father's Day because it's offensive to same-sex couples. What? Wait. So again, this is all programming. Now, I took it as satire because I try not to be so direct on social media under the grounds that, you know, these companies will suspend you, you know, as they say, put you in Facebook jail or block your account if they feel that what you are coming back with is controversial, because more likely than not, some little special person on the opposite end is going to feel slighted and report you. But in the grand scheme of things, no child is created without a man. Even if it's created in a petri dish, no child is created without a man. So for lack of better words, a man is going to always be needed. If not, civilization will die off for the most part, because that you can't cultivate life without a man. So mm-hmm. I can never agree to say that men are devalued and feminism supersedes that. I think there's a place and time now where people or women would like to be acknowledged, admonished for their contributions in society in some of these liberal countries that allow them to, you know, work in some of the most concentrated, most difficult job settings. And I have no problems with that at all. You know, there are women rocket scientists. There are women physicians. You know, there are women psychiatrists. You know, there's, of course, women. Celebrity is celebrity. I'm not even going to count that because that's not really real life. That's just a small segment of people that entertain us. But on a day-to-day basis, yes, there are a lot of contributions that are made by women. And keep in mind, hell, a woman was just, up until the 80s, a woman couldn't even go to the bank and get their own bank account without their husband saying it's okay. So women's liberation is about 100 years old. Feminism is not necessarily the black woman's fight, but feminism doesn't supersede the dominance of a man on earth. I'm sorry, guys. Like, try to cancel me if you want to. Good luck with that. But I'm just being real. I will make the most craziest controversial statement that you've ever heard, and I've said this to, you know, my significant other. A same-sex person can say what they want to say, but at the end of the day, if it wasn't for that sausage, you wouldn't be here.
Tell brother, I gotta say this because you know what, you hit a great point that I think that we need to address as part of this movement or part of this lifestyle. Feminism or mostly any movement, believe it or not, is inspired before. All right, it's always been like this, and I've noticed this from a kid. Okay, the reason I say that is because, you know, as a kid, I grew up where you know, where the conversation went like this. I had hip hop, rap came into place. You know, rap was there, but before rap became the norm, you know, the other kids, the children, would attack me and call me you N-word this, you blacky black this, whatever the case be, because, you know, I was in an all-white neighborhood. But hip-hop came, and everybody knew it was cool to be down with hip-hop. So the white kids went from that momentum of you and bleep, 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 bleep to, yo, you listen to the MTV rap show, you done this, you heard about what Jeff was saying with the new Michael Jackson song, blah, 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 blah. And then the same thing with a lot of other movements. When black people get involved, it signals to other people, I'm trying to be political sound with the wording, so forgive me, that it's okay to get involved in this. It's cool. So if it seems cool, I'm going to get involved with it. But most of the time, it's the black community that takes the head front to signal the rest of the community that it's cool to do this, or it's cool to listen to this, it's cool to buy this, or dress like that. We have more influence on today's society's mentality, but seems like we can't seem to get the mentality stable within our community to take care of ourselves. A statistic came out when NWA came out with that song, F the Police. There was a statistic that came out back then that stated that 95% of other communities purchase hip-hop music, while its own black community barely does, which is a low percentage. So that means we have a more influence on women. That's why when the feminist movement is the way it is in our community, and I think it's the female black woman's duty now, and as well, I feel that it's the black man's duty to take on the reins and say, this is what we should be doing, or this is what we shouldn't be doing, because we set the precedents. Even though it shouldn't be like that, but we have more influence on what happens. Because look, the United States government set up the child support programs and procedures to distinguish, to take the black man out of the home and to make that woman more susceptible to be non-resistant against the government. Now it's backfired because these laws are affecting outside the black community, and other communities are getting hit as well. So the poor Caucasian level of classism is getting hit, and those who are above that as well are getting hit. I give you an example. Brad Pitt just won a case against Angela Jolie over the child custody case. That case has been going viral. Because the reason it's going viral, because that statistic of a father gaining child support or gaining advantage in the courtroom is so low that you could only maybe give it a 1%, 1.5% chance of being in that same boat. There it is. And that's the truth of the fact of the matter. And that's what I got to say about that piece. Y'all hear me?
Yes. I agree with that, what you're saying in regards to all of that. Yes, black people do make it cool. It's usually us that start the movement, making people want to jump ship, you know, jump on board. And so I agree with all of that in regards to feminism. And I think another thing too is that, like both of you kind of mentioned, women do want to be acknowledged, and not only being acknowledged, we do want to have equality where it is due. You know, we understand everything can't be exactly equal, but when it can be, we would like that opportunity. And yes, we do need men. And I don't agree with whoever is saying cut out that Father's Day stuff. Mm-mm. Because you know what? That if they were to actually do that, that's really sending a wrong message. Absolutely, for the fathers that are doing well for their children, providing for their children, the fathers, even the husbands, the fathers that are parenting well with their wives, you know, their significant others, all of that stuff. So don't agree with that. That's gone too far for me, because we are not women, even though we're needed, you know, we both need it. We are not so much needed that we don't need the opposite sex. Just like you said, you cannot have a baby without a man. A man can't have a baby without a woman.
Well, according to the TV show Sliders, a woman can put the baby in and then she can put it into the man's belly later on. But I'm a Slider.
Who's doing that? Who signed up for that?
That was my favorite show. I love that show. We had an episode about that. What happened was the black man, Remnant Brown, the character, jumped into a Earth during the same time period where women could start the process, but the man has to finish the process of giving birth. And I from that part on, I was looking at that, I was like, yeah. All I can think is, where is it coming out? Where is it going to come out? And if it's where I think it is, I don't want that.
Oh, no.
I don't want that. No. But anyways, I just want to put a little levity into that. But listen, I think it is very vital that we understand that, you know, men are valued as well. But the woman is valued as well equally. Each has a job on this earth, in this each have a responsibility. Even in the insects world, we can say, even though we know the story of the mantis and its procreation, after it has the eggs are laid and everything is put together, they eat the male and so on and so forth. And, you know, we hear about that, you know, but what it is that, listen, everything has a cycle and everything has a purpose. If we don't understand that and we mess up the balance of that purpose, then we're going to just create chaos after chaos. There's some women that because dad was not in the home, that they have really no real value except through TV and entertainment to show them what the father's supposed to do. The father's shown is, okay, daddy gave me a Rolex. My daddy gave me a Dolce & Gabbana clothing. My daddy gave me a car, Kanai, sneakers, some Air Jordans, and all that other stuff. But what it is that we need to basically see ourselves as both two halves of a whole. We're all doing the same mission, but you know what? Our emotions sometimes get conflict, or conflict comes through outside influence. We can't allow the outside influence to affect us and go from that. All right. So I just wanted to basically say that, and I think everything's working.
There's a scale.
Oh, there's my brother. Yay!
There's a scale. I didn't go anywhere. We're talking about something that's more specific to women. So, you know, I wanted to fall and her as much as possible. but needless to say, there's a scale. And a scale on an even balance. On that scale, each sex is going to outweigh the other sex in certain categories. And I just think that people forget that a lot, where the woman has historically been a nurturer. And I'm using real primitive language right now. And the husband or the male contributor has been the hunter, gatherer. There's your balance of imbalance or of imperfections. So what the daddy wasn't doing, loving, hugging, kissing, that's what the mother was doing. And vice versa. What the husband was doing, gathering food, bringing it back, hunting, doing the labor of building the huts, when it was about that life, the woman wasn't doing that part of it. So, in duality or polarity, however you want to chalk it up to be, the scale is always going to tip to one side a little more based on the situational thing. The popularity that lies in liberalism in America versus conservativeness is things are elevated commercially in the liberal plight these days. In actuality, it's not really reality, to be honest with you, because all of these things that the statistics that you state, and I'm not saying that you're incorrect, Brother Alfred, I'm just saying, in my eyes, in my group of acquaintance, of friends, quote unquote, a lot of these things I can challenge, such as men being in the household as active fathers, albeit whether they're married or not. They are there and they're active in their child's life. The child support issue, again, I can challenge that. I can't speak for many people that I know that's specifically on child support, because most people have an understanding, even if it's a still turbulent relationship because of the breakup. They still find some type of way to make it work well enough in order for them to avoid that process. And nonetheless, you know, and locked up, yep, or incarcerated, if you're saying you need the financial earnings to, again, balance the scale. So I think a lot of the cry in America is, what they say, the crying wolf, when it's not really an actuality for the majority of the people. They take those small percentages, and those small percentages look like some amazing numbers when they put 58%, 60-something percent. But then let's dumb it down to state representation. So if a state representation is 29 million people, and they're saying 56% of this category of ethnicity, racial group, is the people that are the offenders on that group, but they're only polling 12,000, 10,000, 1,000 people, those numbers are asinine. They're stupid, because you're measuring a very small concentrated group, and you're trying to signify that that is the norms or the social means versus a larger number. And that's where we get caught up with this foolishness that we call news. And that's the things that people have to become more educated about. They have to be more informed and look at the whole concentration of the actual statistics that they are reviewing often, so that they can make a reasonable decision about what they are assessing, and that they are, you know, leaning towards at that point. And I see that, like, and I use Texas as an example a lot because I'm there. So in Texas, they have these big signs on the road. And in 2020, it was like, there's 1,100 deaths, you know, by cars, and they have this flashing up on the roadways, because Texas has the highest speed limit, to my knowledge, in the United States of America. It's 80 miles an hour on their freeway highways. But again, when you're comparing the deaths of 1,100 people to a total residency of 29 million people, that number is going to register so minute against the scale. But when you're looking at 1,100 flashing in your face, you're like, oh, my God, I better slow down, because, you know, people are dying out here left and right. It's all an illusion, man.
Hmm. Well, I think what has been going on is with us is that no matter which way we want to go in our lives, we need to be able to make sure that we are treated fairly. With every state, every step or every status that we try to, you know, improve upon, our main objective should be always to stay focused. It's the focus point should be what this is. You live in a community where you are responsible for your own actions. But take those actions seriously. And take what you need to do so that the people that you bring into this world, as well as those who are around you, we need to be able to, say that I'm going to treat you the way I would want to be treated. If I'm working a job and it's the same job as you, I should be paid the same amount. If I'm going to the mall and I'm going to do something that's going to be significant, don't look down at me because of my color, my skin, or or my sex or sexual orientation. Judge a man by his actions, not by his looks. You gotta look at that. You don't judge a woman because she's a female and say she's a weaker sex. She's not. There's plenty of strong women that's out there that push beyond barriers every day. So I'm my closing statement, because there's 4 minutes left on the show, is this. I want everybody to look at your mother, your father, today. Look at what they've done to put you here. Look at the examples, the struggles that they went through so that you can live. Because think about it. They probably went through some stuff that you never knew about or they never told you. And one day you're going to find out about those things. But I'm going to do today is I'm going to try to prepare you to handle those struggles. And that is by saying this. Every parent, every child are always exactly the same. You just have technology that's different. It's different. If you don't see it now, you'll see it later on. Because I am a copy of my mother. I as well as a copy of my father. I might do the same thing different or in a different capacity, but I'm exactly the way they were when they came into this world. All right. Beyond that, I just want to say thank you, everybody, for coming on. You know, the Powerhouse Squad next week, you know, we're going to keep it. You want to keep the conversation going on, post your comments on there. I know the Powerhouse Squad is always up on there. Somebody's up there. You know, getting ready to post questions or whatever. So, you know what? If you don't have it, download the app. Please go to your Google. We are working diligently to get it up and running on your iPhone. If you do not have, if you do have an iPhone, please be patient with us. We are working diligently on that. Also, within the next two or three months, we will be moving. NSF Radio will be having our own live stations. Working to get a full studio set up here. So, you know, we're working diligently, trying our best, trying to do some fundraising so that we can be able to get to you, the people that are always on the go. So if you got that app download, please do so, so we can definitely keep things going and moving forward. Also, NSF Radio is hiring. You're looking for anybody that is looking for to do voluntary work in the music business, please give us a contact at 1-800-903-2096, extension 1. We are hiring for volunteers in internship programs right now. We just, like I said, if you want to learn how to run a studio, then please give us some contact as soon as possible. But beyond that, Sister Sophia is out there every day. So if you got the app, you'll get notifications on how to contact her, get on the show. If you need some of that love advice or relationship issues, please get in touch with her. So you know Brother Tone and his podcast is every week, every other week, or so on and so forth. Stay tuned. Get the link in. Go to NSF Radio Stations with an S.com. on Power Hour Squad, and you'll be able to see what Brother Tone is doing. Click on his name right then and there, and you can be able to go right there to all his links, where he's broadcasting from, and do that every week. Beyond that, I want to say thank you. See y'all next week. You know we love you. And until then, Power Hour Squad is left the building. Thank you.
The hits just keep on coming.
Let's start the show. You know what time it is.
What up? It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad of radio.
The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. S. Tone Robbins.
Live and direct.
Sophia Alexandria.
I am in the house. What's going on?
And Brother Al.
Hey, what's up?
You know, it's not just the wisdom. It's the basis of understanding of the subject.
We have gone home, folks.